and gentlemen, good morning. It is a fabulous Friday, April 20th, 2012, and I am excited to be alive. I hope you are as well. It is a wonderful day to be learning, growing, moving forward, enjoying life, as Doc Fran likes to say, being in absolute bliss. Moving forward and enjoying all aspects of life. I lifted up the blinds on my window this morning and looked out over the scenery outside my window, and it is just beautiful. The clouds, the way they're just providing a nice smooth blanket over the horizon. Everything's turning green here where I'm at. It's a wonderful time to be alive. And folks, I'm excited to be here with you as we move forward and continue to refine our philosophy so that we can do more and enjoy more of all of the good things in life. And that's what the result absolutely is of doing what we're doing on a daily basis, which is refining our philosophy. Jim Rohn liked to say your philosophy is like the set of the sail, and if you have your sail set in the proper direction, you cannot help but move toward the sunrise and the sunlight and enjoy again all the good things in life. So welcome to the call, excited to be here. Today we are going to go through some more important content from the book Think and Grow Rich. We are in the final chapter. I don't think we'll finish it all up today. We'll have to finish the last piece up on Monday. But we're going to get through a very critical piece of the philosophy today. And the first part is entitled The Devil's Workshop, The Seventh Basic Evil. In addition to the six basic fears, there is another evil by which people suffer. It constitutes a rich soil in which the seeds of failure grow abundantly. It is so subtle that its presence is often not detected. This affliction cannot properly be classed as a fear. It is more deeply seated and more often fatal than all of the six fears. For want of a better name, let us call this evil susceptibility to negative influences. Men who accumulate great riches always protect themselves against this evil. The poverty-stricken never do. Those who succeed in any calling must prepare their minds to resist the evil. If you are reading this philosophy for the purpose of accumulating riches, you should examine yourself very carefully to determine whether you are susceptible to negative influences. If you neglect this self-analysis, you will forfeit your right to attain the object of your desires. Make the analysis searching. After you read the questions prepared for this self-analysis, hold yourself to a strict accounting in your answers. Go at the task as carefully as you would search for any other enemy you knew to be awaiting you in ambush, and deal with your own faults as you would with a more tangible enemy. You can easily protect yourself against highway robbers because the law provides organized cooperation for your benefit. But the seventh basic evil is more difficult to master because it strikes when you are not aware of its presence, when you are asleep, and while you are awake. Moreover, its weapon is intangible because it consists of merely a state of mind. This evil is also dangerous because it strikes in as many different forms as there are human experiences. Sometimes it enters the mind through the well-meant words of one's own relatives. At other times, it bores from within through one's own mental attitude. Always, it is as deadly as poison, even though it may not kill as quickly. How to protect yourself against negative influences? To protect yourself against negative influences, whether of your own making or the result of the activities of negative people around you, recognize that you have a willpower and put it into constant use until it builds a wall of immunity against negative influences in your own mind. Recognize the fact that you and every other human being are by nature lazy, indifferent, and susceptible to all suggestions which harmonize with your weaknesses. Recognize that you are by nature susceptible to all the six basic fears and set up habits for the purpose of counteracting all these fears. Recognize that negative influences often work on you through your subconscious mind. Therefore, they are difficult to detect, and keep your mind closed against all people who depress or discourage you in any way. Clean out your medicine chest, throw away all pill bottles, and stop pandering to colds, aches, pains, and imaginary illness. Deliberately seek the company of people who influence you to think and act for yourself. Do not expect troubles, as they have a tendency not to disappoint. Without doubt, the most common weakness of all human beings is the habit of leaving their minds open to the negative influence of other people. This weakness is all the more damaging because most people do not recognize that they are cursed by it, and many who acknowledge it neglect or refuse to correct the evil until it becomes an uncontrollable part of their daily habits. To aid those who wish to see themselves as they really are, the following list of questions has been prepared. Read the questions and state your answers aloud so you can hear your own voice. This will make it easier for you to be truthful with yourself. And here are the self-analysis test questions. Do you complain often of feeling bad? And if so, what is the cause? Do you find fault with other people at the slightest provocation? Do you frequently make mistakes in your work? And if so, why? Are you sarcastic and offensive in your conversation? Do you deliberately avoid the association of anyone? And if so, why? Do you suffer frequently with indigestion? If so, what is the cause? Does life seem futile and the future hopeless to you? If so, why? Do you like your occupation? If not, why? Do you feel self-pity? Do you often feel self-pity? And if so, why? Are you envious of those who excel you? To which do you devote most of your time, thinking of success or failure? Are you gaining or losing self-confidence as you grow older? Do you learn something of value from all mistakes? Are you permitting some relative or acquaintance to worry you? If so, why? Are you sometimes in the clouds and at other times in the depths of despondency? Who has the most inspiring influence upon you? What is the cause? Do you tolerate negative or discouraging influences which you can avoid? Are you careless of your personal appearance? If so, when and why? Have you learned how to drown your troubles by being too busy to be annoyed by them? Would you call yourself a spineless weakling if you permitted others to do your thinking for you? Do you neglect internal bathing until auto-intoxication makes you ill-tempered and irritable? How many preventable disturbances annoy you, and why do you tolerate them? Do you resort to liquor, narcotics, or cigarettes to quiet your nerves? If so, why do you not try willpower instead? Does anyone nag you? And if so, for what reason? Do you have a definite major purpose? And if so, what is it? And what plan have you for achieving it? Do you suffer from any of the six basic fears? If so, which ones? Have you a method by which you can shield yourself against negative influence of others? Do you make deliberate use of auto-suggestion to make your mind positive? Which do you value most, your material possessions or your privilege of controlling your own thoughts? Are you easily influenced by others against your own judgment? Has today added anything of value to your stock of knowledge or state of mind? Do you face squarely the circumstances which make you unhappy or sidestep the responsibility? Do you analyze all mistakes and failures and try to profit by them, or do you take the attitude that this is not your duty? Can you name three of your most damaging weaknesses? What are you doing to correct them? Do you encourage other people to bring their worries to you for sympathy? Do you choose from your daily experiences lessons or influences which aid in your personal advancement? Does your presence have a negative influence on other people as a rule? What habits of other people annoy you most? Do you form your own opinions or permit yourself to be influenced by other people? Have you learned how to create a mental state of mind with which you can shield yourself against all discouraging influences? Does your occupation inspire you with faith and hope? Are you conscious of possessing spiritual forces of sufficient power to enable you to keep your mind free from all forms of fear? Does your religion help you to keep your own mind positive? Do you feel it your duty to share other people's worries? If so, why? If you believe that birds of a feather flock together, what have you learned about yourself by studying the friends whom you attract? What connection, if any, do you see between the people with whom you associate most closely and any unhappiness you may experience? Could it be possible that some person whom you consider to be a friend is in reality your worst enemy because of his negative influence on your mind? By what rules do you judge who is helpful and who is damaging to you? Are your intimate associates mentally superior or inferior to you? How much time out of every 24 hours do you devote to your occupation, sleep, play and relaxation, acquiring useful knowledge, plain waste? Who among your acquaintances encourages you the most, cautions you the most, discourages you the most, helps you most in other ways? What is your greatest worry? Why do you tolerate it? When others offer you free, unsolicited advice, do you accept it without question or analyze their motive? What, above all else, do you most desire? Do you intend to acquire it? Are you willing to subordinate all other desires for this one? How much time daily do you devote to acquiring it? Do you change your mind often? If so, why? Do you usually finish everything you begin? Are you easily impressed by other people's business or professional titles, college degrees, or wealth? Are you easily influenced by what other people think or say of you? Do you cater to people because of their social or financial status? Whom do you believe to be the greatest person living? In what respect is this person superior to yourself? How much time have you devoted to studying and answering these questions? At least one day is necessary for the analysis and the answering of the entire list. If you have answered all these questions truthfully, you know more about yourself than the majority of people. Study the questions carefully. Come back to them once each week for several months and be astounded at the amount of additional knowledge of great value to yourself you will have gained by the simple method of answering the questions truthfully. If you are not certain concerning the answers to some of the questions, seek the counsel of those who you know well, especially those who have no motive in flattering you, and see yourself through their eyes. The experience will be astonishing. You have absolute control over but one thing, and that is your thoughts. This is the most significant and inspiring of all facts known to man. It reflects man's divine nature. This divine prerogative is the sole means by which you may control your own destiny. If you fail to control your own mind, you may be sure you will control nothing else. If you must be careless with your possessions, let it be in connection with material things. Your mind is your spiritual estate. Protect and use it with the care to which divine royalty is entitled. You were given a willpower for this purpose. Unfortunately, there is no legal protection against those who, either by design or ignorance, poison the minds of others by negative suggestion. This form of destruction should be punishable by heavy legal penalties because it may and often does destroy one's chances of acquiring material things which are protected by law. Men with negative minds tried to convince Thomas A. Edison that he could not build a machine that would record and reproduce the human voice because, they said, no one else had ever produced such a machine. Edison did not believe them. He knew that the mind could produce anything the mind could conceive and believe. And that knowledge was the thing that lifted the great Edison above the common herd. Men with negative minds told F.W. Woolworth he would go broke trying to run a store on 5 and 10 cent sales. He did not believe them. He knew that he could do anything within reason if he backed his plans with faith. Exercising his right to keep other men's negative suggestions out of his mind, he piled up a fortune of more than $100 million. Men with negative minds told George Washington he could not hope to win against the vastly superior forces of the British, but he exercised his divine right to believe. Therefore, this book was published under the protection of the Stars and Stripes, while the name of Lord Cornwallis has all but been forgotten. Doubting Thomases scoffed scornfully when Henry Ford tried out his first crudely built automobile on the streets of Detroit. Some said the thing never would become practical. Others said no one would pay money for such a contraption. Ford said, "I'll belt the earth with dependable motor cars." And he did. His decision to trust his own judgment has already piled up a fortune far greater than the next 5 generations of his descendants can squander. For the benefit of those seeking vast riches, let it be remembered that practically the sole difference between Henry Ford and the majority of the more than 100,000 men who work for him is this: Ford has a mind and controls it. The others have minds which they do not try to control. Henry Ford has been repeatedly mentioned because he is an astounding example of what a man with a mind of his own and a will to control it can accomplish. His record knocks the foundation from under the time-worn alibi, "I never had a chance." Ford never had a chance either, but he created an opportunity and backed it with persistence until it made him richer than Croesus. Mind control is the result of self-discipline and habit. You either control your mind or it controls you. There is no hallway compromise. The most practical of all methods for controlling the mind is the habit of keeping it busy with a definite purpose, backed by a definite plan. Study the record of any man who achieves noteworthy success, and you will observe that he has control over his own mind. Moreover, that he exercises that control and directs it toward the attainment of definite objectives. Without this control, success is not possible. Incredible statements of truth there, my friends. I hope that these lines have resonated with each of you as they have resonated with me, and they do resonate every time I read them. I just feel great understanding this amazing truth that we do have the power to control our destinies, and it lies within the extent to which we learn to control our own minds. So I'm anxious to hear the discussion on these ideas that we have learned from Dr. Napoleon Hill. Let me open up the lines. Hey. *6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul, George. Paul?
George, go ahead.
Well, how much time do I have?
Let's see, we've got about 40 minutes left.
No, I want to be fair to other. I want to be for other participants. What would you limit my time to?
Probably just a couple of minutes, 3 or 4 minutes,
okay.
Maybe 5.
Would you be my timekeeper?
I do.
And pull the hook on me when it's time to go?
I would do that. Thank you for your courtesy in asking that. Appreciate
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. I was listening to Jim Rohn, as I always have, as you mentioned him. He always said, tell a story. And if you recall, that's such a passionate word, tell a story. Well, I'm going to tell a story today of my actions yesterday. And it seems every day I'm getting out and about, and I would recommend highly to everybody on this call, don't sit in your home office. Get out and meet people. Go out and explore the world. In your hometown, there's so much to do, so much to see, so many people to talk to. You can't believe how many people I've met since I joined 124. I got something to talk about. So I go out and talk about it. And I just throw up over everybody. and they see me come, and some go the other way. So I don't care. I just still do that. So I was down at Starbucks yesterday having a cup of coffee with a friend I met, and befriended a lot of people all of a sudden. And there's a guy, a homeless gentleman, sitting in Starbucks having a cup of coffee. Can you picture that? A homeless man sitting at Starbucks paying $2 and change for a cup of coffee. So I said to myself, wow, that is interesting that this guy is sitting here having a cup of coffee, and everybody around him is driving BMWs and all these other cars. Are fine, you know, everything is, it doesn't fit. He's driving a wheelchair. He's pushing a wheelchair around town with all his belongings in this wheelchair and just living day by day. So I said, I got to talk to him. Now, how many of you out there would have approached or would approach a homeless person? Is that a potential PC? I mean, is there anything that you can do to help them? I look at it as paying it forward. I'll go up to one of those people and I'll say, look, I'm not going to give you any money today. I'm going to give you my card. There's a chance for you to win $25,000 if you take action and go to the library, and get a, you know, go online, get an email address, establish a residence address, and you are eligible to join that program, and you'll have three shots at it. What do you think of that? They look at me kind of funny, like, this is not going to feed me right now. And I agree with them. It's not. But, you know, so but be that as it may. So I started to have a conversation with this gentleman. I wanted to find out what he was doing, what his thoughts were. He has the same dreams as we do. As a matter of fact, his dreams are probably bigger than most of us sitting here. But when I asked him, I said, do you have a family? Oh, yeah. I said, where are you from? Portland, Oregon. What made you wind up here? A woman. All these conversation parts are so, I mean, it's amazing how much information you gather in a two-minute conversation. So I said to him, would you be interested in trying to help yourself instead of relying on handouts? Oh, you bet I would. I wish there was something I could do. I said, there is something you can do. I gave him my card. I said, here's what the deal is. You spend $60 a month to be qualified to get a pay line. He says, I can do that. Here's a guy that has no money. At least you perceive he has no money, but he has resources. He goes around, picks up rocks in the street, ties wire wrap around them, and sells them to tourists that come through as jewelry. Now, and he's got his stuff at a consignment store. I said, I can't believe this story is unbelievable. And then he says, I got robbed the other day. I was at the courthouse. I was going to the bathroom, and some guy stole my backpack, stole my Social Security card, my birth certificate. Now I got to wait and get medication. He's a diabetic, besides. Plus, he was told at one time in his life he'd never walk again. He says, I'm walking. So there's a whole lot of desire in this gentleman. I want you all to know his name. His name is Patrick Vogue, V-O-G-G. One day you may see him sitting on a stage at a 124 conference. I want you to go up and say, congratulations. I'm starting to get choked up here. So next thing is I want to mention. I'm making plans to buy an office building because of the 124 business. And I'm also going to go to apply for an SBA loan and a VA loan to do that. And I was just thinking here this morning as I'm listening to Paul, they were going to say to me, what's your marketing plan? Where's your business plan? I'm going to put the Think and Grow Rich book on the desk. Here's my marketing plan. Here's my business plan. What more do you want to know? It's already written. It's been written for 100 years. And then the next thing is, who's the board of directors? My board of directors, everybody on this call, Doc Fran, Paul, Deborah Castle, all the people I don't even know and unnamed are in my board of directors. Unpaid, unfortunately, but they're board of directors. And all the famous speakers out there, all my board of directors. Can't ask for a better cast of thousands out there. So some people think I'm crazy. I don't think so. I took my first check to my neighbor, $10.37. I got paid that first check. I started this in the end of January. Second check, $14. They're laughing at me. I says, go ahead and laugh. I'll be here in 6 months, and we'll see what it is then. So end of story coming up, Paul. I'm inspired to inspire. So therefore, I'm going to close the call and say good day from everybody's hometown, Prescott, Arizona, and I'm going to be listening, and I wish you all the best. And remember, I'm going to give you a big responsibility. Go out and make it a great day. It's your turn. Thank you. Bye.
George, thank you so much. I'm smiling from ear to ear listening to your story and listening to your passion and your plans. I can't wait to come down to Prescott and shake your hand and give you a man hug someday, or maybe see you at a convention sometime. Appreciate.
Hey, remember, I'm Greek now, Paul.
You're Greek?
Yeah, no man hugs.
No man hugs? Well, you know what a man hug is, right? It's like a handshake with a half hug on the other.
Oh, okay. It might go further, that's what I'm saying.
It's totally
laughing.
Cool. Appreciate that, George. Thanks. Great, great story. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Melvin, good morning.
Hey, good
Missed
morning
you the last
to you.
Couple of days, sir. Great to hear your voice.
I'm out of town, really. In fact, I'm even talking to you now from Mexico. But
oh, wow.
I thought I'd get on this one in spite of it today. You know, the things that you went over actually tell the whole story in itself. I mean, it's all laid out. I mean, just reading what you read tells everybody, it has the plan totally laid out for them, what they need to do. And it's kind of like having a store. And if you want your store to be successful, you need to close your doors every now and then and take inventory and see what's working for you and what's not working for you, including like the store, what's selling and what's not selling. And you make that adjustment, and you're working on one of the most important things you possibly can work on. And one of the things that you were saying is how truthfully it's more valuable than anything else. It's the most valuable thing you have. It's interesting he said something about telling a story. I would tell the story about a person closing their eyes and giving thought to the fact that you got this home. I mean, it's one gorgeous home that you have. And just picture this. Someone's driving down this driveway. They're coming up to your house, and they have to drive about a half a block to get there, and then they go around the circle, and then they stop, and they walk up these stairs. These stairs, there's 13 steps here, and it's got these big columns on each side. And they take this great big steel circular thing on the door, and they knock on the door, and you open the door, and when they...
Paint.
They
that's your paint on. Art.
You have this beautiful carpeting. It's all white, and you just let them walk in your house.
You ever heard
and
of Thinking Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill?
Hey, Melvin, let me interrupt you. We're getting somebody's talking into the line. Can you please press *6 to make sure that you're muted if you've unmuted your line? *6 to mute your line. Go ahead, Melvin. Sorry about that.
Well, basically, I would tell this story, and people would say there was no way they would let someone come in their home and just pour garbage all over the place and mess up their home like that. And the point of the story is, then why would you let someone do that to your mind? And why would you not guard the thing that's even more precious than your home or your car or anything else? Is this mind of yours, and not allow anyone, including yourself, to put garbage in there? And to the degree that we understand that, we start protecting that, and we do the things that you were talking about to enhance it, that's where the real riches and the real treasure of your life's going to come from, far beyond any dollars that you're going to make. That's the true treasure. The other part is just the add-on. And with that, it's back to you, Paul.
Great metaphor there, Melvin, for helping us understand that. Really appreciate that. *6, who's next?
Yes, it's Rick from California.
Buenos dias, mi amigo.
Buenos dias. You know, I want to point out something I think it's pretty interesting. But whatever you're actually seeking for, and in search of, I recommend to everyone, look deep inside and realize what it is you think that the money can get you. You got to be getting that now. Figure out a way to enjoy your life today. I mean, I cannot stress this anymore. Whatever you're chasing after money, if you're not getting it now, you're not going to get it when you have money. It's actually... If you miss this, you're going to miss life, period. Really take the time to really think about that. You know, make sure you're living your best life today. Money is a game, you know. It's a game. It's something men decided how to go up and get things and trade things with each other. But life, living life, enjoying life. Today, you know, you got to make sure the end game, you know, what is you looking for a big house? Are you able to get the joy that you can get with your family, your friends? There's so many things you can do in life without money. Think about this. The joy, the end result, the gratification that you get, things you get from helping other people. It's, you know, you have to stop and think about this. And while you're doing that, while you're on your way, the journey, make sure. It's the journey. Don't miss this. The journey is the most important thing. Enjoy it. And when the bliss comes from learning, from growing every day, this is part of your life. This is part of your success. On this call, that is my opinion, okay? It don't have to be yours, but that's my opinion. You can, you know, it's like alcohol, right? So you can take it or not, but I think it's important. I think you need to really look inside yourself and make sure that you're getting what you want now, today, how you live your life, how you treat people around you, because that's the real deal. In my opinion, of course. I'm going to send it back to you, though, Paul, all right?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Great comments. Always appreciate your insight, and so true. We do need to learn to enjoy life today. Yeah, excellent. Star 6, who's next? Don't be shy. Any thoughts on what we've learned today, the self-analysis test questions, the power of the human mind? Oh, man, there's so much to talk about here. Star 6, come on out.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Lindy.
Hi, Lindy. Great to hear you this morning.
Great to hear all you, too. One thing that I think about whenever I think about, you know, the people around us that speak negatively and, you know, they're discouraging, is that they really don't know what they're doing. And why in the world would any of us who know better give our power to them? You know, they don't know, they haven't really, they're not controlling their mind in what they're saying to you. There's something dysfunctional in them that makes them uncomfortable because you're moving faster than they are or moving up further than they are, and it's just a reflex, and they don't even know why they do it. You know, and these are a lot of times the people that love us that do this. So we just have to keep things in perspective whenever the others around us are not encouraging us and not helping us if we need help, or and not give them our power. Our power is within us, and hold on tight to that. And I don't know what else to say about that. I hope I communicated that thought. My mind's a little foggy today, but you know, just hold on to your own power and love the people anyway.
Lindy, you expressed that beautifully, and you reminded me of a line in The Law of Success by Napoleon Hill, and it says, "Who told you it couldn't be done, and what great achievement has he to his credit that qualifies him to judge your ability?" That's a powerful line right there. And I also want to share just real quick. Last night we had a webinar for a company, and my good friend and business partner, Justin Vrengia, did the presentation. And the first part of the presentation, he talked about how we are limitless. He used that word limitless, and then he talked for another couple of minutes about, you know, how he and his wife have traveled the world. They went to the Great Wall of China, and they were in Costa Rica. Now they're down in the mountains of Costa Rica, living their dream. And he just talked a little bit more about how we as human beings can accomplish so much. It's so mind-boggling when we think about what we can accomplish. And he talked about, you know, becoming millionaires, earning millions of dollars, and I just sat there listening to him, thinking to myself, I am so grateful to be associated with people like this individual who believe in the power of human potential and who are laying out plans and taking action on a daily basis and moving forward to achieve those dreams. Justin's just one example. I mean, all the people we have on this call every morning, what a huge blessing it is to be associated with people who fall into this category. So just something that I'm very grateful for. Grateful for each of you and for being a support to me in that truth that we can do great things. So, Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, George again.
Hey, George.
Okay, I'm just being inspired by your comments. I mean, I believe that, you know, that success is a wonderful thing, but to me it's the journey that's important. It's what you do along the way that makes things different. And that's what I gather from these calls, and I'm on a great journey, and I can't wait to get up every morning. I sleep fast at night. I only sleep 2 hours. I sleep very fast. So I'm up and at 'em again, just waiting for the new day and seeing what else I can do to change other people's lives is paying it forward. So that, with that, I'll sign up again.
Awesome. Thanks, George. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, Ernie Murphy here. How are you doing, brother?
Hey, Ernie, doing great. How are you today?
Man, I should be sleeping. I have the most crazy schedule of any person I know, but I knew this call was on at 9 a.m., and I've just been sitting here listening. It's so addictive to be able to take part of all these great comments and the great knowledge. I mean, I just can't go without feasting on this knowledge every day. It's hard to sleep whenever you're going to miss this call and you just want to be a part of it. And I don't know. I know it's hard for some people to accept myself and how vibrant I am about life, and I accept things a whole lot differently than most people, and I've actually been fortunate enough, and it's kind of rare for me to say that, I've been fortunate enough within the past 2 weeks to actually experience a life-threatening situation that I survived, obviously, and also I've had the opportunity of having a friend who's going through a rough situation. And in his rough situation, he actually almost committed suicide. The one person he reached out to was me. And I just feel more than privileged to be able to experience both of those things. So we all have to realize, you know, it's not all about the knowledge we gain and what knowledge we already have. It's just about how we approach things in life and how we write it down or we jot it down in our own minds, and we're able to use our talents whenever a situation is placed before us. We're not perfect, but at the perfect moment, we can be perfect because of our experiences and even learn from others' mistakes. So I'm just vibrant, excited about life. I know I'm going to do great things. I just have to stay alive, merely just stay alive, just keep staying plugged in and being associated with great friends like the ones on this call. I'm looking forward to one day meeting all of you in person. I know it'll be at different times, but I know it's going to come. And I just have to merely stay alive and keep accepting this knowledge freely and just being excited about life. I want everyone on this call just, wow, just take the day in. It's a wonderful day. And I thank each of you for your time.
Thank you, Ernie. Always great to hear from you, my friend. Appreciate those thoughts and experiences you shared with us. Star 6, who's next?
Hello, this is Marina.
Let's see. Todd, we'll let ladies go first. I think it was a tie right across the finish line there. Was that Marina?
Yes.
Marina, go ahead, please.
Good morning, everybody. This is Marina from Pennsylvania. I just wanted to appreciate, first of all, this call. That helps everybody I know and helps me a lot. To go through difficult times we have sometimes in our lives. And this is amazing, reading this book every day. And sometimes I don't have a chance to comment because I am working. And but I make notes, and you do not realize how much it has changed my mind. And I wanted to appreciate, first of all, that And as somebody mentioned earlier, this call is really addictive. So I'm addicted to this call every morning. Even I'm working, I have my Bluetooth on and I'm listening to it. Sometimes I'm missing the part. But I wanted to appreciate you all, guys, and especially Paul, because every day, 9 o'clock, you never miss it. I miss it sometimes. And I said, oh, my God, how he's doing it every morning, 9 o'clock, you are there. And you are so committed. And that's a huge example for me. What I wanted to point as well, what I realized, I have read this book several times in my language. I speak Georgian. I come from country Georgia, and I am in the United States only 4 years. So what I wanted to find out, I never knew about myself that I had a fear of criticism. And I found out that yesterday, and I was shocked. I read it so many times, and, you know, people were discussing about it, and I never knew I had it. And yesterday I realized I had this fear. And that came from one of the comments on the Facebook, because I am on 124 company, and I displayed my video there about my first paycheck, which was $27. And my second paycheck was $44, and I was so excited I decided to make a video about it and post it on my Facebook. Oh, my God, I had negative responses from my friends, so-called friends. They were laughing at me, like, are you really crazy? Like, are you happy having just $44 a month? What are you talking about? They didn't realize what was $44. What was the potential? So I started to explain them, but then I realized I had a fear of criticism. I was so angry. That video was like a one-minute video, and that created huge responses. And all was because one negative response from my friend who is not in 124 and he does not believe in network marketing. He thinks I am crazy and I am with crazy people and I'm going nuts. And all day long I was thinking yesterday about this call. And this call helped me to realize that was a fear, and my fear of criticism led me to this discussion. And I thought that I was just wasting my time. And then what was the as the decision was, you have to find out the way how to conquer this fear. To conquer this fear is just do not think about it. I was pushing my mind so hard, pushing, and by the end of the day, I conquered my mind. So I'm so positive, I do not think about it. Once, probably it was last week, somebody made a comment. If you have positive 1 million and times negative just one, all million becomes negative million. And that's what happened to me because of that one negative. So I was thinking about this all day yesterday, and this call helped me a lot. I didn't have a chance to express it yesterday because of my work, but I am expressing my appreciation to everybody on this call, and especially to the organizer, because you don't know how much you are helping everybody. Thank you very much. Back to you.
Marina, thank you so much for that comment. It's stories like you just shared that keeps me coming back every day, and everybody on the line coming back every day. So thank you so much. Well done for recognizing that fear within your own life, and well done for conquering it. I love it. I just love hearing those thoughts. And great segue into Todd Young, because you actually quoted him. He was the individual that made that statement about the impact that one negative can have. So Todd, come on out, man.
Good morning, Paul. Very wise words by that young lady just now, and you know, I love this call so much. It makes me stronger. I know that it makes all of us stronger. It makes my team stronger for being on here and listening to every single one of you. and all of your wisdom. And gosh only knows there is an abundance of wisdom on this call, and I'm just grateful to be here. But, you know, I guess I want to mention something that I'll tell you my, you know, background on this chapter. And I really worked my entire life. You know, I was a baseball player when I was younger, from the age of 5 years old to the age of 23, and I excelled, you know, pretty far. And but, you know, when I was 5 years old, you know, I was a pitcher. And I was actually out on the mound, and of course, you know, we're 5 year olds. But my father actually came out to the pitcher's mound, and because I was throwing the ball all over the place, just like a 5 year old does. And my father, you know, who wasn't the coach, walked out onto the field, and he told me, he said, "Son," he says, "I want you to concentrate," and he says, "I don't want you to listen to everybody else on the other team who was making negative comments." But this is really where I learned this. It was amazing, and. My father told me at that young age, he says, "I just want you to remember, you know, some of the great players that are on the Baltimore Orioles." He says, "Just pretend like you're, you know, you're Jim Palmer, who was a great baseball, you know, pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles, who was very, very good in his early years." And so, you know, don't listen to the other side. And he says, "I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pitch the ball 10 times in your mind, right in the catcher's mitt, before you throw the ball." So my father taught me visualization at a very early age, and he also, you know, taught me a part of mind control. And there's a chapter of, you know, or pardon me, there's a paragraph here that, you know, mind control is the result of self-discipline and habit. And you either control your mind or your mind controls you. And, you know, something that I've practiced my entire life, something that actually my father taught me, was something that is in Think and Grow Rich, which is our invisible counselors. And whenever I'm, you know, and it's funny that as I go through life and when I'm in crowds of people, or even when I'm talking to a prospect, or you know, there's negativity in the world. It's just it's full of it. It's full of positive as well. But, you know, we tend to, you know, let's just face it. There's no good news on the news. It's all negative news, and that's what people thrive on. So I've always, you know, when I come up to a situation where somebody is trying to influence me with their negativity, instantly, you know, we've all seen a movie where somebody or something, you know, somebody pops on your shoulder. It's either the devil's on one side and you know, God's on the other. And saying that, hey, you should do this, and the other one saying you shouldn't do it. And then your mind has to make up your decision which way you're going to go, and that's the self-discipline. And my invisible counselors are people like Superman, Alexander the Great, God, Napoleon Hill, my parents, my mom and my dad, and very, very powerful people that when I have a negative situation of any kind, my, you know, it's such a habit now that these figures pop up into my brain and instantly take over my brain, which is my self-control. That's my way of not letting the negativity in into my brain. I just won't allow it. People that are on board my team know that not to come to me with negativity. You know, there's a saying in this industry that, you know, good news goes down, bad news goes up. Well, I have a new fundamental that I teach my people, and that's good news goes down and bad news goes nowhere. You get rid of it, and you expunge it. And we live in, and we want to live in a positive environment, and we can control that positive environment. I know I do. We were all born to win, but we're conditioned to lose, you know, through life. But it's up to us whether we let these negative thoughts into our mind, and it is a form of mind control. We can do it to ourselves, but more importantly, we can do it to other people, and it's part of our responsibility as true sponsors in this industry to help influence others to not let negative thoughts into their mind. Because as the young lady just spoke and just said, we can do a million things right, but you do one thing wrong. You let negativity go into someone's mind that you've been working with diligently with positive information, positive affirmations, positive lessons to go forward in your business. Next thing you know, that person goes home and gets negative influenced by either a family member or friend that is a typical dream stealer in one's life. And so that, again, is a self-discipline. So the strong are going to survive in this industry by teaching your new business partners how to not let negative information into their life. And it's a very, very easy thing to do, just really by self-discipline and practice and habit. So, Paul, those are my thoughts, and I appreciate you letting me speak this morning.
Todd, love a man, love you, and like George, I can't wait to give you a man hug sometime here in the very near future. Appreciate those excellent words of wisdom and those experiences. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Oh, it's Doc Fran.
Hey, Doc.
Listen, guys, Paul gives a really excellent man hug, and I've been blessed in my life.
I can't wait.
That is something to look forward to, much the same as the excellence of this call. I'm just sitting here grinning from ear to ear, and, you know, bliss is a word that I have in my mind and in my experience on a regular basis, and I have to tell you, listening to Marina just absolutely exemplify the power and value of this call and how beautifully she articulated coming to an awareness of a limiting self-belief and absolutely smashing through it. So that's what gets me up every day looking for this call and waiting to get on it. Todd, you are an inspiration. You're so articulate. You really have a wealth. So many people on this call, Ricky, Martin, you know, Mel, just all of the people who have the courage to speak out, because whenever you're motivated to speak, you are speaking a piece of essential truth, and it is going to resonate with someone on the call. And as Marina so eloquently pointed out, we never know. It's the silent person on the call who has suddenly remembered or learned or contacted, and it has a positive effect on their life, even if it isn't immediately apparent, because everything that we see, hear, feel, sense imprints on our subconscious, and it's never forgotten. And so that's the beauty of always pouring out positivity for everyone's benefit. And I love that, Todd. I love that. I have a new expression, bad news goes nowhere. And that is a marvelous variation, and I'm going to adopt that and plagiarize it. So thanks, and back to you.
Star 6, who's next? Thanks, Doc.
Paul?
Yes.
I hate to monopolize this call, but they have one off of Marina's discussion. I reflect back ever since I started 124. People dear and close to me will look at me and say, because I'm going crazy on my activities, and they say, "Who are you, George Blanos?" And I stand back. I used to try to explain, but now I don't do that anymore. I just look back and I grin and I say, "I am 124. And end the conversation. And it's perfect because they understand exactly what I mean. As few words as I can say it, because I'm too busy to have a long conversation about trying to explain what I'm doing. So I just go forward and just keep doing. So the here and now is important. And then, Doc Fran, your words of wisdom are so well received. I cherish the day you and I had that council call. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the counsel you gave me. And I'm moving forward as we discussed. So thanks again. I'm out.
Thanks, George. Star 6, we've got a few minutes left here. Would love to hear any other thoughts, comments, experiences, words of insight and wisdom. Come on out. If you feel prompted to speak, now's your time. Yes, who's that?
Oh, that's Melody.
Oh, hey, Melody.
Good morning. I was thinking of the book of Job the other day when we were talking about our fears, because his fears came upon him. And to Marina, his friends weren't too cool either. But he kept his vision, and read the end of that book, because he came out far more ahead than he went into it. And that's right back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melody. Always love hearing from you. Great point. Thanks for sharing that. Star 6, who's next? What I wanted to point out a couple of the analysis questions. Have you a method by which you can shield yourself against the negative influences of others? Do you make deliberate use of auto-suggestion to make your mind positive? This call popped out to me when I was reading that. This is a method that we can shield ourselves against the negative influences of others, as has been pointed out by so many today. So it's something to keep in mind. Star 6, it was somebody coming out there. Who was that? I thought I heard a voice there.
Hey, Paul, it's Mike Nelson.
Hey, Mike Nelson.
Hey. I used to have a manager that you'd bring problems to him, and a problem to me is a negative influence. And he used to say, you know, thanks a lot for putting that monkey on my back. And it just kind of reminded me, as you come up to someone or talk to someone and you have a negative thought or whatever, a negative influence that you want to try and hand off to someone, just remember, you're putting a monkey on someone's back that now they have to try and figure out how to deal with. So keep your negative thoughts to yourself and go back to your dish and keep your, you know, don't bring negative influences to others if you can help it. I know that that's hard to remember, but I just like that analogy of thanks for throwing that monkey on my back. You know, I just thought I'd bring that one out. Thanks.
Perfect. And we definitely don't want to be the ones throwing monkeys on people's backs. Love that, Mike. Thank you for sharing.
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
Hey, this is Evan from Utah.
Hey, Evan.
Hey, just the other day, I carry the book Think and Grow Rich with me pretty much everywhere I go now. I even take it. For my job, you know, I take it everywhere. So, you know, sometimes I just leave it hanging out. And the other day I just had it on my desk and one of my coworkers saw it and he says, Think and Grow Rich, huh? I'm like, yep. He goes, how's that working out for you? And I could just tell the skepticism and mocking tone in his voice. I'm like, it's working out great. You know, and I just didn't even let it faze me in this whole different thing. You know, it's just totally changed my perspective. And I kind of just laughed internally at him because, you know, I knew I was in a much better place and that when I'm moved on and not at that the job anymore, he's still going to be plugging away and getting a paycheck, you know. So I just kind of laughed internally and know that this call, this book has changed my life and looking forward to it. So just wanted to throw that out there and back to you.
Awesome, Evan. Thank you for sharing that and great job on recognizing that you are at a higher place in life and no need to throw any negativity back at that person, but just do exactly what you just did. You recognize that you are at an enlightened state, literally, and that's a great place to be. And I love how you said that you're carrying the book around. That's fantastic. Great job, man. Star 6, who's next?
Yes, Rick, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you know, three words come to mind when I think about the call, I think about the business. Three words come to mind, and that's benefits. What are the benefits? The results. What are the results our business, the process can create in someone's life, and what solutions can we provide? Those three words, benefits, results, and solutions. Opportunity, yes, opportunity to gain either one, two, or three, or all three of those. When you focus on those particular symptoms we're looking for before we make a prescription, it's like You want to make sure you have a proper diagnosis before you prescribe. And once you start focusing on those things, everything else becomes moot. You don't, you're providing a solution to someone. Think of your guy as a doctor. I'm here to help you solve those issues if you're interested, obviously. And so a simple question to anyone anyway. You're going to be successful in any event, whether you get a yes or no answer, if somebody, are you looking to improve your life? Are you looking to create some certain kind of results or solution in your life? When you ask questions in a certain way, people have to respond in a certain way also. I'll give you an example, which is interesting, and I identify this to the clerk when I go, for example, in a store. If I go in a store and they have their own credit card, somebody may have a line and said, would you like to save 10% today? Now, That's a very interesting question. And rather than asking, do you want to get one of our credit cards? You see, would you like to save 10%? Now, well, who wouldn't like to save 10%? Now, understand, obviously, you have to do something. Well, here, we want to, if you sign up for a credit card today, we can save 10%. But the question, in the form of question, how they ask you the question, because what is that? That's a certain amount of results you're getting. So when you ask the questions in a certain way, you're going to get a certain answer. But remember those three words. Is what are the benefits? What are the results can you create in people's lives? And what are the solutions? What issue, what problem does someone have that what you have can solve for them? And they have to obviously want to solve it, you know. Get in the habit of trying to solve something for someone more than they want to. It's like Jim Jones said, you may be able to carry one person on your back, but you can't carry two or three. All right? All right, back to you, Paul.
Great points, Rick, and great points, everybody. Want to thank each of you for the wonderful, enlightening, inspiring call today. It's always a pleasure. It truly is, and today was no exception. I want to thank you for being a part of this call. Want to challenge you to get out there today, this fabulous Friday, enjoy life, recognize that we absolutely hold the power within our mind and within our soul to make life that which we want it to be. Let's go forth. Let's have faith. Let's take action today. Let us be persistent. Let us close our minds to the evil of negative influence, and let us make great things happen. And also, let us have a great weekend and be back here Monday morning as we're going to finish out the book, Think and Grow Rich, and we're going to go through 57 alibis and then also hear Dr. Hill's closing thoughts, which are so profound and touch me to my heart, and I know will touch you. So come back Monday. Tell others about the call. Let's grow this movement. And I do love you. I do appreciate you. I do believe in you. Get out there and make it a great day and have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you so much. Take care.